I mean, that's how much I love Paris. Yeah. I just think it's just really, really got something that speaks to me on a very deep level.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Last week, Astrid Clements, your solo travel advisor, shared her recent trip to Paris and told listeners that her trip had a theme of style and fashion. On this episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid delves deeper into the theme of her trip, detailing exactly what activities made up the trip. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. We hope you find the details of the trip interesting and maybe even inspiring, but also to give you a sense of scope of how you can bring a theme to your Parisian travels. Here's Astrid.
For the solo traveler, there's so many different types of theme-based kind of trips that you can take and enjoy when you go to Paris. You know, Paris, there's so much to enjoy, and really, most everybody who goes the first time, they go for it and they try to do a little bit of all the major things, and that's just understandable. But I can guarantee you, most everybody, unless they have a bad experience, and I've talked to a couple of people that said they'll never go back to Paris. Somebody was either really rude to them, or something happened, and they just didn't like it, but that is really rare. But on your second, third, fourth, fifth, and tenth trip, you should, I think, focus on something special, whether it's the food or art, you know, whether it's classical art or modern art or contemporary art or art deco or even interior design or antiques. Architecture, French literature, and then, oh my God, fashion or shopping. I mean, you will come back over and over if you like those two things. So, you know, I particularly like to focus on certain things that I'm very interested in at home and dig deep into that when I go to special places that do it at on a very high level. That's one of my, I guess you would say, things that I would share with somebody taking a solo trip to Paris, if this is not your first trip, okay? Then also, there are many kind of like day tours. There's a lot of things surrounding Paris or that's close to Paris that is not Paris or Parisian, but oh, they're so wonderful to do. Like the wine tours in Burgundy or Burgundy and Champagne. You can go. I took one day tour one time to Giverny. Oh my God, where Monet lived and painted in that village. Oh, his home, the whole thing. That was just, that day was so special. I will never forget it. Then you can go to some of the chateau country. Versailles, Fontainebleau, there's so many things that you can do with that are just day tours. And if you have the time, do it, because I can tell you, each one of those, even if they're in kind of a structured setting, they're wonderful. I mean, you will really have some great memories. You know, there's so much to see and savor. I think you'll probably end up being like me or most people are, you know, you'll just go back many times. And another thing, this last time when I went, I'm almost 70. And I think I like Paris more this time than I've ever liked it in the past. And I've loved it every time before. I think when you get older, you love it more. Now, if you can't walk and your health is not real well, that might not totally be true. But I still just blow and go when I am able to and I do it. So I can really have the luxury of taking it all in. And I think when you're older, you see more and you appreciate more of what it took to make this city like it is. And it's so, like you said, ooh la la. So, and it's easy to travel to. So it's great for a solo traveler. You don't really have to be in a tour to experience a city, which is great for a solo traveler. You can take the tours, like I said, which I think you should do really both, experience both. Easy to navigate the city. Not only is it walkable, but it's easy to find your way. And then the metro system is great and the buses are great. So it's not a city that you feel turned around in or anything like that. You got the Seine River in the middle, east, right bank, left bank. You know, you'll probably always end up going towards the river at some point. And so you're not going to get lost, really. And so you feel, it feels familiar. It doesn't kind of throw you off. And now, which didn't used to be, lots of people speak English. And they will speak with you. I mean, before, if you couldn't speak French, oh my God, they would just look at you like I'd say, like, ugh. You know, it's like, why did they come to Paris? They can't even speak the language. But their attitude is just such, it's like, oh God. They have a certain way of going, ugh. But it is not like that so much anymore. In fact, I mentioned that to the concierge at our hotel. I said, you know, Paris seems more friendly these days than it's been in the past. And he said, you know, we have been on a friendly campaign. He said, the government, oh, I think he told me 6 years or longer than that, has put a big push on the companies and the people involved with tourism and in general with being nice to foreigners and having a friendly attitude. And I think it is beginning to really take hold because I noticed it. And when my concierge said that, I said, well, look, let me tell you, I said, I can tell him. And he said, yeah, he said, tourism is so important to Paris. Our government just basically said, look, you start being nice. So those are the reasons I love Paris, or the broad, tangible and intangible, and some of the kind of solo traveler. How I would kind of think about a trip. I'll go into a little bit more specifics later on in the podcast, but Paris is great for solo travel, and anybody wanting to go there that doesn't have anybody to travel with, don't hesitate. It's just a wonderful place, and if you don't have a good time in Paris, maybe you need to rethink some things that's going on in your life or in your head. Okay.
So you yourself had a theme. You took your own advice. You had a theme to this trip that you most recently took.
I did. And let me, you know, I know I'm yakking on, but
we're liking this, though.
Yeah,
don't worry.
But when you get me going on Paris, I mean, you are going back to the motherland for me. My maiden name was Roy, and I am half French. And we did have, in my growing up years, there was a sense of Frenchness to a certain extent. Food was just very important, and dressing was very important. And, oh, in fact, my father loved Paris so much, he really did seriously consider sending me to high school there. But then he thought, I don't know, you know, I might lose her forever if I do that. Okay, but let me tell you how this special trip came about in the theme of this trip. About, I think it was like in June or July, I read an article about the Dior exhibit that was opening in July of this year and going through, I think, the second week of January 2018, titled The 70 Years of the House of Dior, which was basically an exhibit of the different designers that worked for, Christian Dior founded the House of Dior, but who have worked for Dior, and all of their, or, you know, samples and fabulous clothes, etc., from the different eras of their fashion design life. And they were displaying evening wear, ready to wear, day wear, accessories, jewelry, shoes, hats. Christian Dior was the first, and how he got started and everything. And then he kind of died young, and Yves Saint Laurent was chosen. And that's what really started Yves Saint Laurent's fabulous career. And he was there, I forgot how many years, but it really got him going. And then he went off on his own and really became big. Then Galliano stepped in, who took it to a more modern even level. And he was also very, very well received and completely kind of put a whole new vibe in it until he kind of got crossways. He was acted up a little bit in some of his, I guess you'd say, his political or social beliefs, and was a little too verbal and people got offended, so he was asked to leave. But now they have a female designer, and I really can't say her name very well. It's Churi Maria Grazia, I think is her name. Oh God, her very trendy but classic new, it's kind of like a streetwear with highbrow. I mean, she is so good for what's going on now in the fashion psyche, as well as actually designing the things. I fell in love with her clothes. Now, I'm probably really too young to really pull it off well, but she's equally good as Saint Laurent and Galliano and even Christian Dior in her own way. And she's a female. I mean, it's very exciting what's going on with Dior. So I read all about this and I thought, oh gosh, that would be so cool to see that. And, you know, then again in September, I saw another article and had all these pictures and I thought, oh God, I really would like to go see that. And it just happened to be that either that same day or the other day after I read that second article, I went to a board meeting. I'm on a bonding authority. And there's another trustee who's a good friend of mine, lady. She was there, and she said something about my outfit. She complimented me on it. I said, well, you know, Sharon, I love to dress up, you know. I love clothes. We started talking about it, you know, and she does too. And so I said, you know, I just read this article and I started talking about the article about this Dior exhibit and how fabulous this, I thought this was. And I said, God, I'd love to go see it. And she said, you know, I would really like to go see it too. And I said, you would? And, boy, that light bulb went off in my head. I had the aha moment. I looked at it. I said, Sharon, if I can make this trip happen, say I put together something, flight and 5-star hotel for like $3,200. Say we go for a week, we see the exhibit, you know, eat at some nice restaurants and do a few things. Would you be interested? She said, yeah, I'd love to do it. Yeah, that sounds great. Oh, I got on the internet. I started all my magic that I do. And I found this hotel, the Hotel Regina that I found, 5-star, across from the Louvre, $271 a night, exquisite. I mean, this hotel is really one of the best hotels I have ever stayed in for that price in the, you know, fabulous location anywhere in the world. I mean, I did over the top, and I was kind of scared at first. I thought, you know, sometimes when you see all this and you look at it, and I did the videos and everything, when you get there, it kind of smells moldy and it's old, and you know, you just, they can make the pictures look good and the videos look good, but the feel is just, it's had its day. Well, no, this one was still vibrant. I mean, even young people were coming into the restaurant of this hotel and their gorgeous library bar. Oh, God, this place was just wonderful. So I made it, I put together a little package. It was $2,800 for, well, we, our trip was from, it was from Thanksgiving Day to December the 1st. So it's basically 7 or 8 days. I can't totally remember. But, so she and I, we, you know, she like me, my friend Sharon Perez, she's married. But she loves to travel, and a lot of times her husband doesn't want to go. And sometimes she will travel with other friends, and she'll even go places herself because she's a very smart and sophisticated woman. So if she wants to do something, she's going to figure out how to do it. Then we also had another lady who's a good friend of hers that I've become much closer to here in the last year. She's not married, and she loves to travel. She's our most respected female lawyer in Baton Rouge, Grace Ella Simmons. If any of you in our area need any help in that department, I guarantee you she is very smart and lots of fun. Well, she said, "Oh yeah, I need a break. I would love to go to Paris." So. So I kind of use this group of three. I had a little bit of an ulterior motive, and not a bad motive, but I in the future I want to create a solo travelers club, which will be part of my website, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, and trips that I offer small groups of people who are solo travelers, who don't want to take a real kind of structured tour. They'll have a focus. They'll be theme-based, but you'll have free time. You'll have opportunities to do some of the structured or focused activities, but you'll have the comfort of being with a couple of other people, so you're not totally solo, because a lot of people don't like the idea of being completely solo, but they want to have their freedom when they want it. And then they also like the luxury of the perks of being picked up at the airport in like a limo or something that's a little bit nicer than grabbing a cab or taking the metro in or whatever. And, you know, their bags taken and just some of the hassle and maybe a little bit of the uncertainty that you have to figure out the logistics and all of that. So I thought, well, I'm going to try out a specific itinerary for these two other ladies, see how much they can take. You know, I've done a lot of stuff with tours and non-tours and my own thing. Not that I create them, but I am doing that for the Arts Council at the moment with their Art Routes programs. But I have found that it's better not to do too much in a day and kind of mix things up to a certain, you have to have a good rhythm and a good mix of what you do during the day or you'll burn out.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, you know, this is going to be good for me to focus on. And then I started thinking, you know, we're all, you know, well, I'm almost 70 and both of them are 70 and we're all in the stage that, you know, we want to stay young, as young as we can be, relevant, engaged, and vibrant. And I was thinking, you know, the women in France, they are all, that's what they, I mean, like I said, the art of being a woman and what they do on a daily basis in terms of how they keep themselves positive to actually really, really maintaining a good beauty regime. And what's that, it's special je ne sais quoi that they all have, you know, their allure that they just, they keep it going. I mean, even when they're at 80s and 90s, I've seen, in fact, on this last trip, I saw this one woman, and she had to be approaching 90. She was a petite woman, beautifully coiffed her hair. She had black hair, and she had this gray stripe through it, but just very elegantly done, not overdone or whatever. Perfect little simple dress, nice accessories. And I thought, oh God, that woman is just like, she's like a Madonna or something. And she's almost 90 years old because she's so refined in a nice, comfortable way. I mean, anybody can be like that. If you try, you know, you might not be as naturally beautiful as she is. And you might choose to dress with a little bit different style. But it's that undertone of quality, simplicity, and vibrancy that's there. That triggered the ideas. I'm going to create a trip itinerary to Paris that focuses on women's stuff, you know, activities, that, especially things that will help us recapture or reinvigorate our woman vibe. I focus these activities around fashion, shopping, doing makeovers, some food, you know, because Paris, you don't get a bad meal in Paris, really, because those kinds of restaurants go out of business. Museums and, you know, a lot of walking, too. The broad itinerary that I created, these are some of the things that we did. Of course, the Dior exhibit. That was the first thing that we did.
It's the inspiration here. Yeah.
And our hotel was right across from the Louvre. So we just had to go across the street. It was just so unbelievable where our hotel was located. Then we also visited the Yves Saint Laurent Museum, which was just opened. It was beautiful. It was done in the mansion where he lived. And well, I don't think he actually lived there, but that's where his office was, and he worked, and he met his clients, and we saw where they would sit down in the drawing room and everything. It's just beautiful. And they go into so wonderful films about his early life, and you hear him talking and watching him and everything. I mean, he really was just the real deal. So that was a great experience and really totally different from the Dior exhibit. We did a Coco Chanel walking tour. Oh, that was fabulous too. You got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of Coco Chanel. Now, excuse me, but she was the original badass woman. I mean, she had taste and she had, oh, that spunk that you can't believe. But look, she had a mouth on her. She did things the way she wanted to do it. I mean, she could be so rude, but everybody did what, I mean, they were completely smitten with all of her fashion, and they were very fast forward and thoughtful. I mean, completely revolutionary. She had some power. I'm telling you, it was some kind. Like I said, she was the, you know, they talk about, you know, women these days who are really like got power and, you know, swag and everything going for them. And they and label them as badass. Well, let me tell you, Coco Chanel is the original. I mean, there's nobody had the more quality, in that kind of way, the Coco Chanel. But the walking tour was fascinating because we got to go to the Ritz, where she had this beautiful condo. Well, you know, she bought a building where her store was and her designers worked, etc. And then she had her own apartment in there where, you know, she would eat and, you know, have friends over, etc. But our tour guide asked her, well, what do you think is missing in this apartment? And nobody could figure it out. And finally she said, a bedroom. She slept every night at the Ritz Hotel. I mean, she was a character. I mean, let me tell you, she did it. She did everything the way she wanted to do it. And if it was hard at first, she figured out how to get it, get there and get it done. She was quite a phenomenon. I think more than people even totally realize it. I mean, something else was going on inside of her. But the walking tour was wonderful because you could see all the places that she, where she'd eat during the day, the bars she went to, where her place was, where she, you know, had a big fight with somebody, all these little minutiae, where she had her hot chocolate at Angelina's all the time. And that really, I love that. I love that very much. Another wonderful thing we did was we made our own scent. There are a couple of places in Paris where you can make your own perfume. And they have a perfume museum. They have different places, but we chose I think it's called the Studio Parfum. It's in the Marais district, I think. I have the address if anybody wants to know. But you go, and it's an afternoon where they give you basically, you know, some background information about how perfume is made and in France and the history of it and why French women love perfume and, you know, where to put perfume on your body and just how everything you need to know about perfume. Basically, perfume for dummies. Okay. And then after that, you get to make your own scent, just like the people who make perfume do, to create the bottom note, the middle note, and the top note, and how they balance it, how much goes in, you know, how many liters or ounces goes into the bottom note, and the middle note, and then the top note. And you smell all these different oil essence of different fragrances, whether it's from wood to, you know, gardenias. I mean, just all these things you never thought that you would smell in a pure form. And I must say, I've made my perfume in two other places, once in New Orleans and once in Newport, Rhode Island. And the oils that were used in the other two places where I made my perfumes, they smelled really good and nice. But the ones in Paris were so much more pure. And you could really smell the smell distinctively. It was not, I don't want to say watered down or something. This was like the essence. So it was so cool to sit there and smell the ones that you like and what you don't like and then, you know, work with the expert nose lady.
The nose.
Yeah, to create it. Oh, it was great. So I created mine, and you get to name it. So I named mine An Afternoon in Paris, and I really do like it. It really smells good. That was so much fun. I mean, they keep the formula on hand. And if you want to reorder some in a couple of years or you want to get the cream, you know, they can blend it with cream and anything else. So that was really cool. And it really wasn't that expensive, but it was so much fun. So we all three made our own scents. Then another thing we did, we went to Galeries Lafayette, and you know, they have a fabulous bottom floor filled with all of the most wonderful cosmetic makers, French cosmetics, as well as the other, you know, top of the line. And they do makeovers. All of them do facial makeovers. So we all got our makeup redone. I actually chose NARS, of which I didn't know NARS was a French brand, but it is. And, oh, that was really good because there's something about when you get the French makeup artist who works for the French makeup company to do your makeover, your facial makeover, makeup redo in Paris, they're really good. They are really good. Now, they ask you what kind of look you want, whether it's a daytime or you want it more dramatic or evening or whatever. And they go through it and they show you the basics. They don't push any of the products on you. They tell you how to do it, even put it on paper, you know, put it on a face, etc. So you'll know it, so you won't forget how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to buy something, you can buy it. But there, it's not, that's, like I said, there's something that I love so much about Paris. They're never trying to sell you anything. Is if you're not smart enough to know what's good, or you know what, it's okay, because there's going to be somebody who will. And that's pretty nice, you know, because you can really make up your mind better, mm-hmm. I think. So we did that. That was really fun. Then I also, the other two ladies didn't do this, but I have longer hair. And so I wanted to get my hair cut, not short, but just reshaped, because I see all these great looking French women with long hair, and they have it just tussled a certain way, and it just looks so relaxed but elegant. So I thought, well, I'm going to find out who is the best hairdresser in Paris and see if I can get an appointment. Well, I did. His name is David Mallet, and he is the most famous hairdresser in Paris. I mean, all the models, all the current people that you see in the fashion shoots, and you know, the who's who in Paris, they go to his boho chic salon. And let me tell you, it is so cool to go there. It's just in another world. I mean, you know, there are a lot of fine things in Paris, but that is really a total experience. I spent a morning at David Mallet's shop, and he spent about an hour cutting my hair. I must say, I just loved everything about it. He's a very nice person, down to earth, extremely talented. He's very meticulous at what he does with your hair. It's no fast whatever. He is very exacting. And you can just see in his eyes that he is, what he's thinking about in the depth of what he's trying to create. He is, it's in his mind's eye. It's amazing. And, the whole thing from the way they take you in and seat you and give you something to drink or coffee or whatever to, then, you know, they have like basically attendant that first introduces you to the salon and, you know, talks to you and brings yourself something. And then you're shuffled to the, it's kind of like a, like, I don't want to say a living room, but like another parlor area where there are a couple of people who do the hair washing. It's not like a big place. And there's a couple of chairs and everything. And so then you go to the wash basin where, and oh my God, the way they wash your hair and massage your scalp. I swear, I said, look, I could almost, you could stop here. Yeah. I mean, this is so good. I'll pay you three times. Just, you know, I do not need to get my hair cut. This is out of this world. So, and then of course him. And then after, he has a different person who actually blows it out. Cause he really just, he creates the form of your hair, and he is as good as all of the press that he's gotten. And I must say, he is getting ready to open up a salon in New York City in Soho, sometime early next year. So I just throw that out to you. Anybody who's listening, he really is as good as it gets anywhere in the world. So, and he said he'll be in New York for 1 week out of every month.
Wow.
So that was something very special. And then the other thing that was kind of, makeover or woman focused was we had an appointment with a Parisian stylist. And this was wonderful. This was a day-long appointment. And before we went, we had to fill out a big questionnaire. We had to send her photographs of ourselves dressed in different days, selfies and everything. She put together a complete booklet, an analysis of how what she saw, what she felt like were our strengths, how she suggested that we update our look, what are some of the things we should not do individually, just all kinds of wonderful tips. And her whole focus is to bring out the inner you, not just to dress stylishly or for the occasion, but have the right balance to where you, the inner you, you're comfortable and your essence shows through. And it's not, you're, that's not detracted from with what you have on. Mm. She was just, not only was she delightful, she was really good and spot on. Her name is Annelle, and I'm going to say this wrong, Coetz. It's C-O-E-T-Z. Here again, if you want her name and phone number, just, you know, write me at the bottom of this, or you can go to my website, AstridTravel.com, and there's a section called Ask Astrid, and just type in, would you please give me the Parisian stylist name and phone number?
She has a website. I'll put it in the show notes so people can click.
Yeah, she's really good. But, well, the day with her, though, actually started. She took us, and she asked us before we came to Paris if we wanted to do this. She has a very good contact with a lady who owns a by-appointment-only lingerie boutique. And you know the French women, they believe in beautiful undergarments. That, you know, you can't be well-dressed if you're what's underneath.
It's a good foundation.
It's not beautiful. And my daughter is always saying that what's underneath my clothes are so horrible. So when she offered that, I said, oh, yeah, I definitely want to do that. And so one other lady wanted to do it. So we went to this boutique, and it was actually outside of the city of Paris. But, oh, we had so much fun there. A lady, her name was Slodana, and her last name I cannot say. She was Romanian, or she was definitely Eastern European. And I have all her information too. Oh, it was so much fun. We spent like 2.5 hours there. Well, first of all, we had champagne and macaroons, and, you know, we talked about different things. And then she measured each one of us and, you know, gave us a real good, or she analyzed our bodies, et cetera. And so then she started bringing out her beautiful merchandise. And we got to try on all different kinds of things. And it's amazing. You can really transform what's going on with your body with the right undergarments. And hers was particularly beautiful. And on top of that, she sells them for like 30, 40 cents on the dollar. So they're so much more affordable than in any of the Parisian boutiques or, you know, Galeries Lafayette or the big couple of big box places, because underwear or undergarments are not inexpensive, especially in Paris, because, I mean, they love them. Well, this lady has got the goods at the right price, and they're beautiful. So that we had so much fun there. I mean, and my friend, who, you know, Sharon, who went with me, she thought she was just going to buy one or two things. I mean, she completely lost her mind there. But she loved everything she bought. I mean, it was one of, she had like body suits and lingerie and, you know, different types of undergarments and all different kinds of styles. And you'd never believe what these things look like. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful in all kinds of different ways. So it started out with that. And then, you know, Annelle, she went to our particular hotel rooms and went through what we brought. And then, you know, through her whole booklet that she put on, did for us specially. She gave us a book. She was just delightful. Then also we just lucked into, there was a high-end designer vintage show at the Bristol Hotel that was on that night, and she knew the people doing it, and she asked us, would you like to go? And so here again, Sharon and I, we both wanted to go. Well, let me tell you, that was the last thing we did the last night. And it was like everything we did, it just got, I don't want to say better and better, but there was nothing. It was all great. I mean, just to be around these people who went to this show, it was like being in some kind of Hollywood set, and not like a, you know, people are trying to, you know, be beautiful and, you know, be able to buy the most beautiful things. These people really were beautiful and they were so used to beautiful things, and just to be there, and they were so beautiful in their physical appearance and how they dressed. I mean, I wanted to take out my iPhone and just to film the pictures, and I got some, but I didn't want to be so tacky, because tacky they're not. And the merchandise here, oh my God, Hermes, Chanel, Yves Saint Laurent, all of the best of the best, Louis Vuitton, high quality things. They had one lady who was selling some Hermes, vintage Hermes, especially the scarves. She has written the anthologies of the scarves and categorized every scarf that's made, the theme behind it, everything. She was there with her selection selling. I bought one. It was just over the top, gorgeous. Wow. And she was there signing her book. That was just one person. I mean, the people that were there, from the vendors to the fashion people that love vintage, that were just there to be there and have champagne, to the people off the street like me, but other people who bought tickets to go. It was just a really night to remember. And in the beautiful Bristol Hotel, and then when we were leaving, it started snowing, and we just said, oh God, Paris, I know, I don't want to leave, I'm going to cry. So that was one thing. That was our day with the stylist, which was so much fun, and really it was very, we learned a lot, and it was definitely worth it. And anybody who's interested in that, I'd be happy to give you all the information, because, you know, when you get older, a lot of times you lose a little bit of how really you should dress. Yeah. I mean, you hang on to older ways too long, or you just don't do it like you used to, or you quit caring as much, or whatever. And you should stay focused and disciplined. It doesn't have to be painful to do. And to have somebody to give you some, you know, helpful tips, or like a coach, you know, and so it was great. Okay. That was the beauty part of the trip. Now, the next part of the agenda, and let me tell you, I had a lot of things to do. We did a lot of it. Okay. We shopped till we dropped. I mean, when I tell you, we hit Avenue Montaigne, the Champs-Élysées, Faubourg Saint-Honoré, the vintage shopping, Didi Luderot in the Palais Royal, all through the Marais, where they've got all kinds of vintage stuff. And then, of course, that designer vintage show. Galleries Lafayette. I mean, we didn't do flea markets, but that was about the only thing. You know, Rue de Rivoli, all through those boutiques. I mean, we really did a lot of window shopping and shopping, and we didn't blow a lot of money. The things that we bought, we all absolutely loved. Mm. So the shopping was just absolutely... if we wouldn't have done even the makeover stuff and the fashion stuff, just the shopping part of it, just to go into those beautiful stores. It's just, if you like beautiful things, especially in fashion, there's no better than that eye candy there. It is unbelievable. And it's a reason why people from all over the world still really come to shop here. They go to London. Of course, they go to New York. But there's something about Paris. To me, it still is the best. And I know I've said that a few times. And I know you get my drift. Then, eating at the great restaurants. Well, I had a list of Michelin restaurants that I wanted to, and we hit a lot of those. We even took a Michelin food tour, which was fabulous. We had dessert by the number one pastry chef in the whole world. I mean, in Paris, you know, this is what's available in Paris. You know, and they're available in other big cities, but not like Paris. Bistros. I mean, you know, we had, I'd never forget, one lunch we had. I had an omelet and some fries and a glass of white wine. I mean, I thought, how can they make an omelet so good that you don't care if you ever eat anything else again in your life? That whatever the kind of butter that they put in it, in the cheese, in the way the mushrooms, everything, and how it's all just at the right consistency. I don't know. It's just, we did that kind of eating too. Then, you know, we went on a wine, it was not a wine tour, but basically it was an evening where we learned about French wine and how to buy the different kinds of French wine from the different regions and what to look for. And we got to taste. We had a charcuterie board and everything. I mean, it was really good. One of the things I learned is how delicious white Burgundy is. Now, when I think of Burgundy or, you know, wine from Burgundy, I always think of reds or some kind of reds. But some of these white Burgundies that I was tasting, I thought, oh, this is my wine now. Forget, you know, Pinot Grigio. Forget Chablis, Chardonnay. Forget Riesling. Forget everything. This white Burgundy is, it is just to die for. And so that was another thing we did wonderful with foods. I mentioned the Palace Ball, all those Palace Hotel bars. I mean, we hit them all. The Ritz, the Le Maurice, Georges the Sink. Well, we didn't go to Plaza Athénée, but I mean, we went to all of them. And that was just, it was just, I don't like lounges, bars, you know, but I must say, with those two just sitting there, people watching and having these unbelievable mixed drinks that they're just like just something that you cannot even imagine that they can make something taste so good. It was just great in that setting. Oh la la. We also did a dinner cruise on the Seine. Now the Seine, they have a lot of dinner cruises and a lot of them are very touristy and the quality of the food is horrible. But we took one on what's called the La Calife. And we all liked it very much. Food was very good. Not Michelin star, but very good. The vessel itself was kind of an antique boat.
Oh, fun.
Beautiful. It was very nicely done. Oh, the Eiffel Tower going up and, you know, flashing lights at 10 o'clock when we went right by. It was beautiful. And the you know, Notre Dame and everything that you see. I mean, you should, even though it is kind of a touristy thing, wonderful, wonderful.
You have to do it every once in a while. You have to do a touristy thing.
You have to do. So here again, we had the makeover part of it. We had the shopping part of it. We had the eating part of this itinerary. We sprinkled in a couple of museums, the Museum d'Orangerie, which focuses on Impressionist art. One of the ladies who didn't do the hair, she ended up going to the Museum d'Orsay. And we did break up some. And that's what I told him. I said, if you don't want to do something, that's all part of this trip because you have to enjoy Paris the way you want to enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? So we also, you know, that was part of the deal before we left. We also went to Saint-Chapelle, which all the times that I've been to Paris, I have never been there. Gorgeous church. I mean, on the second floor, all the sides are stained glass. It's completely stained glass from the 2/3 of the way up. Mm. Oh no, it's more than wow. It's like, It's like a wonder of the world. It's just so heroic. It's really, it's unbelievably spectacular. So I knew about it, and I never had gone, and I said, we're doing it. And they were all like, oh yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. Then, like I mentioned before, I even scheduled us to go to this show, How to Be a Parisian. And we didn't know if we were going to like it, if it was going to be too stupid. Well, it was hilarious. I mean, we loved that show. This guy was just unbelievable. I mean, he started out, he didn't know what he was going to do with his life. And so he kind of, you know, something got him going to where he thought he would try to do acting or comedy or whatever. And so he made up this crazy theme about how to be a Parisian and, you know, just tell people what makes Parisian tick, good, bad, and ugly, and then how to deal with them, and then how to get along with them, and then how to outsmart them and give them a bit of their own medicine, and the whole thing. He was hilarious because he touched on everything. He touched on how you eat, how you talk to them, how you look at them, their sex life he talked about, and how they, you know, say things that might not totally be true. And how to do this, how to do that. Oh, but the way he was hilarious. And he had so many facial expressions that I don't know how he made his face do that. So I highly recommend that show if you want some kind of comic relief. And it really was insightful. It wasn't totally a waste of time. You asked me what my top things. I guess really it all was great. Maybe the absolute best was the hairdresser, just because it was just so. And I didn't expect it to be like that. I thought, well, it'd probably be a little stiff and then maybe mess my hair up a little bit. And I really wouldn't like it. And, you know, but his whole thing, when I sat down in the chair and I explained, I said, look, I've always had long hair. I know I'm almost 70. I don't want to cut it short. I like longer hair, and you know, but I know I need it to be shaped and loosened, and I want it to look really good. And he said, don't worry. He said, I'm all about change without fear. And I thought that was so spot on, because he's that good. He can get it to where it needs to look without anything radical or whatever. Now, if you want to do something real weird, I'm sure he can go to town on that too, because he is talented. We were really a group of three solo travelers, which, you know, our chemistry turned out to be great. As I said, you know, each of us did separate things at certain times because we didn't want to do some of the other things, which was all good. And I think, in fact, I know all of them, I mean, they thought it was an ultra special trip. We're getting together tomorrow night to share all our pictures. We're going to talk about our next trip. I think our next trip, we're going to go on a luxury train ride through India. But we had super memories, took a lot of great photos, and I really do think it achieved our women goals. I mean, it did inspire us to hold on to our individual allure and be more, just dress better and just more confidence, more everything. And it turned out exactly the way I put it together. You know, I didn't have specifics, but I just had kind of a theme or a focus, and it was just really, really special.
That's great. Now, can I ask you a question?
No, you can't talk.
Oh, come on.
Please let me just yak on because I love
you
Paris.
You love Paris so much. Well, I'm curious though, did you enjoy your hand at sort of planning this tour for everybody?
Oh, yes. In fact, I just went to to lunch with a lady, and she said, "Oh, Astrid, I want to go to Ireland. I want you to plan everything." She said, "Do you do that kind of thing?" And I said, "Well, I'm not a tour agent, and I don't do this specifically for people. But I do, I am working with the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge to create art and cultural focus trips. That's not really what I do, but I am going to develop, and I'm in the process of putting together a group of what I call trip designers from all over the world. And these are people who I have had contact with and I have used in my past 40-something years of travel that are really a cut above. They're not just travel agents. They have the contacts to find the experts in whatever you need or you want to do. I will be getting them to design tours, garden tours of southern England, fashion tours back to Paris, maybe during Fashion Week, and then having the makeovers, or going to Paris during the July or January, the big sale days, because our stylist told us that during these two times where they have sales is even the really fine brands that never go on sale, that you can find deals on them. And she knows where to take you to get those. And so I want to have people create tours that I basically give them the focus and some of the things that I think need to be included for what are the reasons. And then let them do the logistics and let them put it together at a affordable price point. Because my whole thing is always affordable luxury. So I want it to be really nice, but I don't want to blow any money on things that you don't need to. And so you have some money left over on something that you cannot leave. You know, you have shopping money. So to answer your question, no. And in, like I told my friend here at lunch, I said, look, I'll help you a little bit. And I'll tell you what I think. The thing that I'd like you to do is to book all your stuff through Expedia or Booking.com on my website, which you can go to my footer and click into that, because that I do want to build that because I appreciate their affiliate relationship with me. So I want my readers and some of the things that I give to go ahead and book it through there. It doesn't cost you any more money, but it builds a stronger relationship for me and them. And it's a win-win for everybody, to tell you the truth.
That's good.
This has been amazing just even hearing about this whole experience. It's like, you got to get back to Paris.
This last time I thought, oh, please, dear Lord. And maybe some of my listeners aren't religious, and I'm not totally religious, but I do pray. But I thought, please, I'd love to be able to come and live in Paris for minimum of a month, 6 weeks. But if I could just stay here for a whole year and just really go through every neighborhood, maybe write my memoirs, just have the luxury of just being that moment in time where you could do it. You could live it, feel it, and then you really had been there, done that, and you were at peace. I mean, that's how much I love Paris. Yeah. I just think it's just really, really got something that speaks to me on a very deep level.
I can hear suitcases being pulled out of closets in anticipation of going to Paris. What's your theme going to be? Regardless of your theme, you can have a stress-free packing experience when you use Astrid's Packing List. Get your own copy of Astrid's Packing List right there on the front page of astridtravel.com. Just download it easily and use it the next time you have to pack. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, really any of the finer places that podcasts can be found, we would love for you to give us a review, a rating, tell people what you think about the show. The best part is it helps other solo travelers find this valuable information. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.